and it is accession number 12334-1.
Mr. Day, Reel 1, can you tell me how and when it was that you joined the Glorious, please?
Yes, I joined it, left England in February 1940, and I went across France by train to Marseille, and then I picked up a boat which took us to Malta.
Were you a Royal Navy regular?
Yes.
When had you joined up?
In February 39.
And why had you joined up?
Well, for several reasons, I did want to join the Navy, and then it was advertised for air mechanics, which I thought would be probably a good job. And it seemed as though it was going to be a war very soon. I would have been called up anyway, which did happen. And so that was about it, really.
What impression did the Glorious make on you when you joined her?
Well, the first day we were a little bit disappointed with the way we were met on the ship, but by the Flight Sergeant D, I forget what his name was, but
we settled. Why were you disappointed in that?
Well, he was rather officious when he'd only just got on it. But anyway, we settled down and got on with the job we had to do. We went up, well, I only stayed on about a week, I think, in Halfar, and then we went in the harbour at Malta, and then we went up to the station at Halfar while the ship was there. And we was there for several weeks, I can't remember how long. And then we went back to join the ship again and did some exercises in the Mediterranean down as far as Alexandria. And then eventually she was called home and we went up to Greenock and then eventually to Scapa and then we'd started the trips across to Norway.
Did you come into contact much with the captain?
No, not very much, no.
What kind of reputation did he have on board?
Well, he didn't have a very good reputation. Apparently there was trouble with him and the commander flying, Commander Heath. And Commander Heath was eventually put ashore before the last trip that we made.
Why didn't he have a good reputation on board?
Well, I don't really know, because I didn't have any contact with him, but there was lots of rumours going round that you just didn't get on with the commander flying. But
what did your duties on board consist of?
I was servicing the swordfish. Each fitter was one fitter and one rigger to each aircraft. And obviously the fitter looked after the engine and the rigger looked after the airframe. The aircraft that I was allocated to was eventually put out of action. It had a heavy landing. So of the six swordfish that were on the ship, there was only five serviceable because the one was waiting for spares or something. There was something wrong with the airframe. It had a heavy landing. And so I was really a spare then. But The 823 squadron that was divided into two flights, and the trip before the last trip, I was put ashore after one flight was put ashore at, I believe it was Rosyth, but I wouldn't be sure. And we stayed there a week while it did the next but last trip to Norway. And during that trip, I think it was, that's when we escaped from bombing. And then after that week, the other flight came off and we went back aboard. I believe we went by train up to Thurso and joined it in Scapa, as far as I can remember. And then the last trip ended up really with we landed the Hurricanes on board early in the, was it night or early in the morning of the Friday, the 7th to 8th of June. And I watched the Hurricanes land on board, and the only one that suffered any damage, Cross landed on first, he was the squadron leader. And the last one that landed a bit far back on the flight deck and just managed to crawl up over the rounded end of the flight deck. It damaged the tail wheel in the process. That was the only one that was damaged. And then they were stowed down in the top hangar, about midships. And then apparently, I don't remember, but apparently there were some Hurricanes, RAF Hurricanes also came on board. But I don't remember seeing those. And then we were stood off for a time because we'd been up during the night attending to these Hurricanes. And I'd just gone down to get a cup of tea, just boarded out, and action stations went. And I went up to the hangar. I never did drink the cup of tea. I went up to the hangar and I was sent down to an aircraft right down the aft end of the upper hangar with a friend of mine who also came from Haslemere. It had been under inspection and all the engine cowlings were off, and we'd put the cowlings back on it, and also it had a light series bomb racks on, and they needed torpedo racks on to attack the enemy ships, and the armourers were busy doing that, changing the racks over so they could put torpedoes on it. But before that was finished, a shell came through the flight deck about midships up the hangar and set all the Hurricanes on fire. So then we were to abandon this aircraft. We never got it flown there. And so we put the fire screens down and turned on the sprinklers. And then there was a leading air fitter, Smith. He said, well, we better go out here onto the boat deck. And I saw the destroyers putting a smoke screen around the ship. And then I can't remember a lot after that. Until we had action stations went, abandoned ship stations went. Well, my abandoned ship station was on the lower flying off deck, right up forward. It was on the level with the top hangar. In the olden days, or before my time, they used to fly the aircraft straight out from the top hangar and away, instead of taking them up to the flight deck. So anyway, I made myself my way along the starboard boat deck, and all the guns crews along there was all killed around the guns. And I got to this flying off deck where there was a number of Kali rafts stowed down. And then they piped action stations again. Well, I couldn't see much point in going all the way back to where I'd come from. But it was only a few minutes later, and then they piped abandoned ship stations again. So we cut these Carly roughs adrift and put them over the side. We couldn't get them over the port side, which we should have done really, because of the angle of the deck, the ship was listing over and it was on fire from stem to stern. And so we put them over the starboard side, and the ship was still underway. And after we put the last one over, I took my boots off and I dived over from the, and I'd blown me May West, not the life jacket. I'd blown that up. It was a breast type one. It wasn't one that like a belt went right round. It was just a breast type. I'd blown that up and I dived over, and it seemed an awful long way down. When I hit the water, I tumbled over a few times under the water, I think. And I came up, and when I came up, it was all smoke and steam from the ship as it was still moving by. So I couldn't see anything. But eventually, as it passed, away in the distance, when I was on top of a wave, I could see a Carly raft. I was hoping that I'd got down quicker and been a bit nearer to it after we threw the last one over. But anyway, it was quite a distance away, so I swam towards it.
How good a swimmer were you?
Oh, I was a fairly good swimmer. The life belt just about took the weight of my clothes. Anyway, when I got near it, it was so full up, I thought, I'll never get on it. My heart sank. And then I got to the... the only thing to do was I'd go to it and hang on to it, because there was nothing else around. Anyway, when I got to it, they pulled me in, was helped in by the others that were on it, and there was just room to stand up in the middle. It was so full. So we stood there, and that's when I counted how many was on there. I counted about 24. And then as we got to the top of a wave, it seemed to break over. You couldn't get, soaked your skin again. It couldn't get dry, but eventually, that one by one, they died. And eventually there was room to sit around the outside. But where I was, it was, that the float was damaged, it was in the water rather. So anyway, sat there, and I tried to hold a chap up next to me, because you could see that when they were going to go, they sort of got sleepy, and then eventually I couldn't hold him anymore, and he slipped down in the water, and then he died. And then one after another, they were dying. And eventually there was only the four of us left alive on it. And then the next morning it calmed down, and we got dried out, and we took jerseys off some of the dead people and put on to give us extra warmth. And then sometime during the next day there was another raft came across with only two on board, and we emptied that out, and I suggested we got that one on top of our raft as it was damaged to get up out of the water more, which we did. So that left six of us on it when we got picked up. But during the time we were still on there, we could see aircraft. We saw a swordfish fly over and back again, but we couldn't attract its attention. And it looked like a ship with an aircraft flying around it in the distance. But that all disappeared. And then there was smoke kept coming up on the horizon, and then going away again, and it come up again, going away. We thought it might have been a fishing fleet or something, but we never knew what it was. And then we could see a harbour with ships, looked like ships in it. Everybody saw that. And I spent some time trying to paddle towards that. I acquired a paddle from somewhere, I don't know where. But there was hope. It was only turned out to be a mirage, really. It was nothing there. But and then there was some whales went by quite close, and I was a bit scared in case they tipped, came up underneath and tipped us out of the raft. But no, that passed over. And then there were some mines floating on the surface, and we wondered whether the raft would be heavy enough to set those off if we touched them, but we didn't. We passed through those.
How close did they come?
Oh, about from here across the other side of the road, I suppose. Well, then eventually this Norwegian fishing boat, we see it in the distance, and it seemed to be going across away from us, and then it would turn and come back. Eventually it did come and picked us up. I think it picked about 8 of us up altogether, I'm not sure.
Did you signal to it?
Well, we waved to it, but they had seen us. They found these other rafts. I think they were looking for rafts then at that time. And they were very good to us. They put ropes, scrambling it down over the side of the ship, and helped us onto it.
Could you climb up it?
Oh, I think I did manage to climb up it. I think I had a bit of assistance. And then the agony started, because the feet started to thaw out, and the circulation came round. You know, if you get your fingers ever so cold, and they ache when they come round, well, that went on for days. Anyway, I was put in a bunk up the forward end of the ship. Must have been in the bows, and there was a porthole more or less level with the bunk, and they gave us a whiskey, which didn't really do us any good, because it was we'd not had any food or drink for so long, and we'd had a terrible thirst. But anyway, we had water, and we couldn't eat anything, at least I couldn't. But there was a German Heinkel flew round, and I looked out the porthole, and I could see this plane with the swastikas on the wings. That circled around. It didn't do anything. It just flew off again. And then eventually we got into the Faroe Islands. We were taken to I don't know what it was, really, it wasn't a proper hospital, I don't think, it was sort of a makeshift place. And I don't think they really knew what to do with us there, so I think we only spent about 2 or 3 days there, and then we were put on the destroyer, the Veteran, which took us down to Port Edgar by the Forth Bridge. And we went into a hospital there. And we weren't there very long. And they sent us up by hospital train up to Newmacker, just outside of Aberdeen. That would have been a mental hospital before. And it was there that we got treatment for the feet. They'd all turned black by then, and with no feelings in them.
What did the treatment consist of?
Well, I think they split us up and gave various treatment. Well, the treatment I had was vitamin B1 mainly. It was injections of it and a diet of it. Had lots of cod liver oil tablets to take every day and injections. And I think that probably turned out as well as any of them. But I did develop hammer toes and a bit of wasting in my feet, which I've still got now.
What did the wasting consist of?
Well, in the arches, they sort of went high arches, and but it was about a couple of years before I got all the feeling back in them. But
were you able to walk?
Oh yes, I could walk. Yeah, and I don't know how long we were there now. Well, in the August, I was discharged from there onto back to Leon Solent.
Could I interrupt you there and take you through it again to ask you some questions?
Yes, you can, yeah.
Whilst you were in action with the German battle cruisers, how frightening was it?
Well, it was very frightening because you didn't know when there was the shells coming in, you didn't know when one was going to come in and see you off. And you didn't know where they were coming in, you couldn't see anything. And then there was an awful lot of injured people about that had been hit.
Were they getting attention?
There was, down on the wardroom flat, there was first aid sections set up with the birth attendants and doctors down there doing what they could. But because I did help one chap down there, but I mean, there were so many all over the ship, I doubt if a lot of them got any treatment at all. It's just anyone that happened to be near there would have been lucky. But
was it chaotic on board, or were people, did people have it organised, and were people giving orders?
No, there wasn't many orders being given, really. Not what I saw, anyway.
Did people seem to know what to do?
Well, I think all the guns crews and that were all closed up and doing what they could. We couldn't do any more with the aircraft, which I was concerned with. Because the hangar was all on fire then. And
was there much oil in the sea when you went in?
No, I didn't see any, but I have heard some of them said that there was oil in the sea, but whether jumping off right from the forward end of the ship, if there'd been any oil, I would have probably cleared it. So I didn't contact any oil.
How cold was the sea?
It was very cold. It was, well, I've read since that it was 6 degrees centigrade, which is not much above freezing, is it?
And was the middle of the Carly raft underwater?
Yes, there was only there's just wooden slats slung in between. It didn't matter which way up the Carly raft went, the slats were suspended by ropes. So it was full of water. Your feet were in the water all the time. As I said, I managed to get mine out for a little while because I laid down this paddle across the end of the corner of the raft and laid across it, so my feet were up out of the water then. But
Did you have any provisions on board? Or
no,
water?
No, that was another big trouble. There was no provisions, no water. Water was the main thing. It was some people even drank their own urine, and some tried to drink the sea water.
Did you think it was advisable?
No, I didn't. No, somebody suggested sucking a button. That's what I did.
Did it do any good?
Well, it kept the saliva in your mouth, I think, yes. But,
what was the problem?
Oh, somebody else cut their finger and sucked his blood. That was a...
What was the problem with drinking the seawater?
Well, if you drink salt water, you cause problems to your stomach. I think it just make you more and more thirsty, really.
What happened to the people who drank their urine?
Oh, they survived, but I don't think it did them any good, anyway.
Had you had much to eat before you went to action stations?
No, we hadn't really. We had breakfast. Oh, I don't know. Well, we must have had a lunch, but I can't really remember. We must have had a lunch because the action station was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But we'd been given the afternoon off, and we got our heads down somewhere. I can't remember exactly where. But we'd rested anyway till the tea time. And I went down to the Fleet Air Arm mess, which was just below the lower fly and aft deck forward.
How long do you think you were in the raft?
Well, it was two and a half days. The ship went down on the Saturday. I think it went down just after 5 o'clock. I left, that's when my watch stopped, when I left it, about 5:20, I would think. And we were picked up on the following Tuesday.
What time of day?
I don't really know. No, I don't know what the time was.
Did you speak to each other whilst you were on the raft?
Not a lot, really, no, no. No, we didn't. And I can't remember who the others were now, really.
You don't remember any of the other 5 survivors?
No.
Did you think that you were going to survive?
No, we didn't. Didn't seem to be much hope, really. But I suppose one never gives up hope, really, but the chances were fairly slim then.
Did the sun go down, or was it light all the time?
It was light all the time. The sun, at night, it wasn't so bright as what it is during the day, obviously, but it was just a bit overcast at night, but it was quite, you could see quite well.
Did people sing on board?
No, not on the raft I was on, but I believe they did on some of the others.
What was the worst problem? The exposure and the cold, or the lack of water?
The cold was terrible at first. The first night really was terrible. As I say, you couldn't get dry, your toes were wet, there was continual soaking, and there was quite a strong, icy cold wind blowing. And that was terrible, and that's what killed so many people, I think.
Was that worse than the first?
Yes, I think it was, as far as I was concerned.